I want to throw this out there before we start. Some of you are going to get mad at me today. That's never my intention. But my intention is not to please you either. So understand that my job's not to please you, my job's not to anger you, my job is to preach this word. And I think sometimes it doesn't anger us because we don't hear it. I think sometimes it pleases us because we hear what we want to. And so I say all of that, and then I ask that you make sure you stay tuned in to the whole message. Because if you take just part of it, you will get upset. If you tune out to the last, you will be upset. If you miss the first part and don't hear the last part, then you're probably going to be confused. But what we need to understand is that when we hear God's word, we take it in. I was able a week or so ago to speak over at PCCS, the Polk County Christian School, and I always take a bag over there with me, and I have some objects in it. And the idea is that I will use some type of an object or something to drive something home. And so when I set that bag down there on the stage, I want them to anticipate what's in that bag. I know years ago I used to do it here, and I'd have a brown paper sack back here. And I come in one Sunday morning and I'd put my bag back there, and one of the ladies in the church, I catch her, she's sneaking a look over the rail, opening the bag. She said, "I just wanted to see what was in the bag." That's my intention every time we open the Word of God. We should have that anticipation to say, what is going to come out of God's Word today? If we don't have that attitude, we're not going to get anything. We have to come with the anticipation, with the expectation that God is going to say something today to me. My prayer is that He says something to you too. And so as we go into this chapter this morning, I want us to understand what God is saying to us as individuals. What God is saying to us as a church body here at First Southern Baptist, but also as a church overall, what God has for us. We're going to start reading in Mark chapter 9, verse 14. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From his childhood. And often it has thrown him into both into a fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that they said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we pray today that you would open your word. Lord, we can open Bibles and we can read passages and verses. But Lord, we pray that you would open it today. You'd open our minds and our hearts, our understanding, that we would hear what you have for us. Lord, may your Spirit be in control this morning. May you be glorified. May you be honored. May you be praised. Forever and always, may it only be about you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. This passage takes place right after the sermon on, or right after the transfiguration on the mountain. And so when Jesus comes down, some scholars believe that he may have still had that glow on him that Moses had when he came out of the mountain. There's no proof to that in Scripture, but they saw him coming down and they began to run to him. I think the key is when they saw Jesus, that's who they were there to see. They ended up coming and Jesus was up on the mountain, and so he wasn't there. And so this man, along with other people, scribes and Pharisees, and a multitude of people were there to try to find Jesus. And this one man had brought his son who had a deaf and a mute spirit. He wasn't able to talk. He wasn't able to hear. And so he had brought his son in hopes that he would be healed. Well, when Jesus wasn't there, he went to those closest to Jesus. He went and spoke to his disciples, asking them if they would heal him, but they could not. And it gets into it later, but that's not my point today. That's another sermon for another day. But they brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't heal him. And that's when Jesus comes down off of the mountain. And when they saw him, they ran over to Jesus, and they greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "Why are you discussing this with the disciples?" So he was talking to the scribes. And this one person out of the crowd, he comes and he brings his son and he says, tells him the story that we just read. And as we get into this, we know this man, nothing about him other than he has a son who has this problem. Now I want us to look at this man. He obviously brought his son to Jesus. That was his intention, was to come and to be healed. He was looking for Jesus. He had obviously heard enough that Jesus could probably heal his son. And so what does he do? He takes his son from wherever. And this was not just some little illness. This was a serious problem that this demon had tried to kill him at several times, throwing him into the fire, throwing him into water, different things trying to hurt this child. And so he brings him to Jesus, and he asks, and he tells him, but he has a response. Let's look at this man, and let's see how similar we are to this man. He wanted his son healed. He wanted him healed badly. Now, every one of us in this room has had somebody or something that we wanted God to do badly. I mean extremely bad. We wanted God to do it. I can remember several years ago, my daughter, when she was less than 2 years old, we had a youth lock-in, and at sometime that morning, she became sick. And for 21 days, she had a fever over 101. For 21 days straight. We took her to the doctor. We took her to the hospital. And at one point her fever was 104. And they sent us home and they said, "Well, come back when her fever's over 102. I'm like, "It's 104. You just want us to go to the park?" I was not a very good father of a patient. But 21 days straight, she was sick. I wanted my daughter well as much as all of you wanted somebody well. But wanting doesn't matter. Now, don't get me wrong. This is where you don't check out and say, well, God didn't heal, so that's not where we're at. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. Wanting something is not enough. Christian, you may want to be closer to God. You may want to have a closer walk with God. Non-Christian, you may want, you've heard about God, you know He can save you. You've had people tell you all your life that if you'll just surrender to Jesus Christ and believe what He's done for you, then you can be saved. You've read it in the Bible and you want it. But if all you ever get to is a want, you go no further. That's where it has to start. There are so many people out there, when we read the news and we cross-check the news with the Bible, we try to put it together the way we want. It doesn't work that way. But what people do is they see the dangers that are out there and they think, I don't want to go through those dangers. I don't want to have those problems. I want a fire extinguisher for those policies. I want to have an escape from hell. I want all of those things. But if all I ever do is want, that's not enough. We can look at our world today, and many Christians are stuck in that want stage. They want what's right, but that's as far as they go. This man, he wanted his son healed. But if that's all he would have wanted, and it stopped at want, he would have stayed home. How much trouble was it to bring this child to the foot of this mountain to try to find Jesus? It was a lot of effort. Because it wasn't something that was easy. If he had just wanted things, he would have stayed at home and wanted. There are a lot of us as Christians that want that closer walk with God, but we never get out of the pew. There are a lot of us that want to know more about God, but we never crack open the Bible to read for ourselves. We want all of these good things, but wanting is not enough, or you end up still at home. It goes on, it says that the man brought his son, not only just to the disciples, but when Jesus came down, he brought him to Jesus. Because he believed that even though the disciples couldn't do it, Jesus can. Jesus is the one I'm looking for. These nine here, they couldn't do it. And so when he sees Jesus, he brings him and he tells him the story because he believed Jesus could do it. Believing is not enough. Wanting starts the process. But believing is not enough either. Because you know, my Bible says that the devil believes in God and trembles. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, when Satan went out to tempt him, he knew who Jesus was. He believed Jesus was the Son of God, but he was going to tempt him or try to tempt him anyway. Believing is not enough. So many times today, people that claim to be Christians say, I believe in God. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I believe all of those things. And then that's where we stop. I think and understand what I'm saying, that heaven is not going to be near as crowded as a lot of us think, because too many people stop with believing. We believe the things that are there, but believing is not enough. Because look what this man says. He says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But if you can. This man wanted his son healed. He knew Jesus was the one, and he believed that Jesus, it was worth it to take him to Jesus, and he believed. But then when he got face to face with Jesus, he said, but if you can. That's where many Christians or people that claim to be Christians are today. And maybe even Christians. Let me explain that. There are people today that believe, but when it comes right down to it, when they come face to face with Jesus, there's a big if. Because this man said, if you can. If you can do anything, Jesus, help us. Have compassion on us. The man believed in Jesus enough to come to the foot of that mountain and bring his son. So he believed. But then he turned around and said, in another way of translating it, I'm not sure if you can, Jesus, but if you can, help us. Surely that's not us. Surely we are not saying to Jesus, Jesus, if you can help with this situation. Do we say if? That's where this man was at. And Jesus comes back in verse 23 and says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now wait a minute. Because he believed enough, he wanted enough, and he believed enough to bring his son to Jesus. And now Jesus is saying, if you can believe. So did he believe or not? That's the question we have to ask. Not for him, but for us. Because look at this man's response. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Can you have both? Yes. He believed enough to be there. He believed enough to bring his son. But the if in his question said, if Jesus, if you can do anything, showed that he had unbelief. Many of us are in that boat right there. We want and we believe, but there's still unbelief in us. The issue is this. This man had belief and he had unbelief. Was that the reason? Was that the problem? I think it was. Now, having the belief is a good thing. But having the unbelief, it hinders our belief. Because I can believe something and never have faith. And the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. I can believe, I can want to go to heaven. I can believe everything the Bible says. I can believe all I want to, but until that belief becomes faith, until it goes from head knowledge to heart knowledge to where I act on it, it will never do anything for me. This man, he had the head knowledge. But what does he do? He admits his unbelief. He says, Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. He owned up to his unbelief. Many of us will never do that. We don't own up to our unbelief. Oh, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian since I was 21 years old. I believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. I believe He's coming back for me. I believe. You can believe all you want. But until that belief becomes action through faith, it's never really faith. My unbelief hinders my belief. And if my belief is hindered, I will never step out in faith. This man stepped out in faith. Even when he wasn't sure, he stepped out because he said, I have belief, but I also have trouble believing. Help my unbelief. You and I have to acknowledge that we're not perfect. We are not okay where we are. Our relationship with Jesus Christ has to be real. It has to be faith. It cannot just be belief. It has to be faith. And when this man said, help my unbelief, he began to ask for forgiveness for that unbelief. He began to ask Jesus to show him how to deal with it. Show me my unbelief. Give me the power to overcome it. If none of that happens, then he's just standing there with just belief. Many of us today stop at belief. And we never step out on faith. And the Bible says salvation comes through faith. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is an action. It's knowing. I know Jesus can save me. It's wanting Jesus to save me. It's believing that He can. But it's acting, living, surrendering my life to Him so that my actions prove my faith. Faith without works is dead. Works do not cause faith to come. Faith is the tree, and because of the tree being where it is, the fruit falls from the tree, and that's the works. And you can tell that tree is alive because of the fruit that's there. Do you have fruit? Do you live by faith? Does your faith change your life? Well, I go to church so it changes my actions. That's not what I'm talking about. In our country, it doesn't take faith to come to church. In a country across the sea where they're waiting to do something to you or your family because you're choosing to follow God, then that takes faith. But here we're blessed. We're spoiled. Because our faith, it doesn't take anything to go to church. We have to understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I please myself with want. I please my family with want. I please myself with belief. I please those around me when they see I believe. But I cannot please God with want and belief. It can only be through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, understand that having faith, somebody could take this part of the message to this point and say, well, the reason your daughter wasn't healed is because you didn't have faith. You just wanted it and you believed it. But she wasn't healed because you didn't have faith. That's not scriptural. You know, there's time and time again in the Bible where people were healed without faith. This son, it talks nothing about his faith. The father took the son, and the son was healed. There were 10 lepers that cried out to Jesus to have mercy on us. The 9 that went away, they were healed too, but only one came back with faith. Amen. The others were healed. There are many times in the Bible that miracles happen with people without faith. So if you're looking at your life and you're seeing a miracle and you think, well, I must have faith because there's a miracle just happened in my life. Those 9, Jairus' daughter, the son of the centurion, the woman's daughter. So many people in the Bible were healed and touched and fed and affected by miracles, and they never had faith. You can be affected by miracles and never have faith. But you will never be saved without faith. It's that simple. All the knowledge in the world, you can quote this thing and quote this thing and quote this thing, and you will never get to heaven without faith in Jesus Christ. And that is living the way He wants you to. That is obeying His word. That is surrendering to Him. Well, Pastor, that seems kind of over the top. No, that is the top. Because nothing else will work. It takes faith. Now, you can ask me, and I can't answer, why are some people healed and others aren't? We know that if we go on, as we read this, and we know that this son was healed. We don't know whether he had faith or not. Why does Jesus heal some in the Bible and others not? Why was Paul able to heal people, but Paul himself wasn't healed? I don't know. That's not my job. That's not your job. My responsibility is to have faith so that I can please my God. My job is to have the faith that the Lord commanded of me. Your responsibility is to have faith in the God that you serve. You've seen this before. You've heard this analogy, but it never gets any better. This chair is up here. I want to sit down because I'm tired. I believe it will hold me up, but it never holds me up until I sit down in it. That's your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know He's there. You can believe He's there, but until you step out on faith, until you become like Peter and say, God, I'm going to step out on the water, and if you don't help me, I'm going to sink. But I'm going to sink believing in you. I'm going to be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they told the king, they said, we're not going to serve you. And even if you throw us in the fire, our God can save us. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to serve him. That's faith. We don't live that way. We live too logical. We live with too much that needs to be out there for us to see it. We want to know. But that's not faith. One last thing. There may be some of you here that are living by faith. Don't miss this part of the message. This son was brought to Jesus. He was able to be healed by Jesus because of the faith of his father. All of those others I read just a minute ago, Jairus, the centurion, the woman, they brought their child, they brought someone to Jesus. Those four men that carried their friend and lowered him down through the ceiling before Jesus, and he saw their friend's faith. All of these things, all of these miracles happened because of someone else's faith. Yes, they have to choose personally to accept Jesus Christ. I cannot pray you into salvation, but I can pray for you that God will affect your life, and that because He affects your life, you see Him and you believe in Him. We need to be more like this Father. Acknowledge our lack of belief and surrender it to Him. And do everything we can to get those that we love to Jesus. And then let Jesus do what He wants to do. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and so it's a personal faith. But when it comes to God wanting to work miracles, He may want to be using you to do that miracle that opens someone else's eyes. Are you going to walk by faith? you may never see the fruit. You may never experience it this side of heaven to know what your walking by faith did. But He knows. And that's all that matters. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you're not sure. Maybe you know you want it. Maybe you know you believe in it. Maybe you've understood as much as you possibly can, but you've never come to the point where you said, I want to surrender everything to Jesus. I want to go from just believing to having faith to know that when that eastern sky splits, He's coming back for me. It's not a 95, 98, 99% guess. The hope, the know, the understanding that when that happens, He's taking me. I know that. Do you know that? If you do, then start praying for those that don't. God lays this on my heart probably a year ago, and I pray it before every message, is to draw those that don't know you to you, to draw the lost. Because the Bible says no one's going to come to God unless the Spirit draws him. So I pray that the Spirit would draw people to Jesus, that He would draw the lost. That's what we have to do. Because if I don't do that, then that means I don't care. And if I don't care, you can find the scripture in here, that means something might be wrong. Want, believe, but ask Him to help you with your unbelief. You're not broken because you have unbelief, but when you acknowledge it, when you own up to it, then He's able to do something with it. And that's what He wants. He wants you to come to Him. Maybe you're His. He wants you to be closer. Maybe you're not His. He wants you to be His. Where you're at, you have to be with this man. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief become faith. That's where we're at. So whatever God's saying to you today, well, Satan's going to say just the opposite. You obviously don't have faith because this isn't working. That's not our responsibility. When Satan starts attacking you, then that means something's probably right in your life. If he's leaving you alone, then you may still be in the want and believe stage. And he's going to leave you right there. Where are you at? Don't take it up with me. Don't take it up with the person beside you. Take it up with him. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you and we thank you so much for your word. Lord, forgive us where we fall short. Forgive me where I fall short. Lord, show me, open my eyes. Teach me, lead me and guide me. Lord, make it always and forever and only be about you. God, I pray right now over this congregation that you would make us uncomfortable where we are. In every way, God, make us uncomfortable. I pray that we will not go out of here shy of what you want us to be. Holy Spirit, win this fight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.